I've been fucking hoes and popping pillies, man, I feel just like a rock star.
All right, here's an exciting topic. Facebook creative and policy guidelines, aka how not to get banned on Facebook ads. I have been banned over 300 times in my career. And before I found the light, before I discovered the simple secrets that will help you become loved by Facebook and allow you to run your campaigns forever and run real, be a real brand that Facebook loves and actually wants to help out, I didn't even believe this was possible, right? Because I had just been banned so many times. But it turns out there's a way. It turns out Facebook actually wants people to advertise on their platform and actually has built out pretty amazing, sophisticated tools to keep their users around for a long time. And there's certain things that we can't do as advertisers. And if we do them, it'll piss Facebook off and they will have to shut you down. So it was really weird because I had just been banned for so long that I consistently thought that there was no hope. And you were just, this is Facebook, it's just dumb, and they built a platform that just bans people. Turns out the opposite is true. They're really, really smart, and they just have specific rules that are very hidden, are very secretive, because they don't like to say it the way that we kind of say it. But once you understand these rules, and once I understood these rules, I went from getting banned all the time to just never getting banned anymore, ever again, and just having Facebook reps kind of like us and love us. And it really comes down to these specific creative guidelines and policy procedures. Shout out to Robbie Rankin at Tried and True Media. These are the guys there. They're some of the best Facebook and YouTube media buying teams out there. If you ever want to run any campaigns, hit them up. Tell them I sent you, Robbie at Tried and True Media. And he helped put together this presentation that I'm about to share with you now, him and his team. And it's your guidepost, okay? There's a lot of landmines, and just stepping on one landmine will blow your leg off if you're a marketer trying to advertise on Facebook. So take out a pen, take out a piece of paper, and learn to understand the creative secrets here. This is the full breakdown of the current up-to-date policies and guidelines on Facebook ads. So the game plan today is just to go through Facebook compliance when it pertains to advertising, both ads on the landing page and the ads and what they look for, and what are some of the most common compliance issues that I've run across and consistently see in my career. We're gonna go over trigger words, what to put on the landing page. I'm gonna show you a couple examples, and this is gonna be the best education you've ever seen on staying compliant on Facebook so you can run for years and have somebody on your side, a Facebook rep on the side while you're building your brand. So Facebook takes a three-tiered approach. They look at the ad, they look for does the ad make sense? Does it have any unsubstantiated claims or sensational claims? Does it imply any negative attributes for the viewer? Does it withhold any information? And I'm gonna go through all of these in more detail later in the video. I'm just giving you kind of a high level overview right here for what they're looking for, what they're looking at when they look at the ads. And they wanna know, does the ad accurately reflect the products sold on the landing page? Because often there's a disconnect with claims and whether or not it's accurately reflecting, because they see that as withholding information and clickbaiting. They're trying to move away from that, those types of advertising, no clickbait. Then there's the post-click experience, right? From the ad to the landing page. They want to know, and what the first things they like to see is, does the landing page contain information about the product? You can't just have a VSL and no information on the page. You need to have an understanding of information that's actually being sold on the page when you get there. And I'll show you an example later on. Then to look in a similar lens as to whether the landing page makes any unsubstantiated claims. Does it withhold information? Is it more clickbait? In particular, when it comes to pre-sell landers, they really recommend people to stay away from pre-sell landers that do not add value. You know, these are things like when you click on what are five foods to avoid on the ad, and then it gets to the pre-sell and it doesn't actually tell you what the five foods to avoid are. It's just more information. And then you have to click again to find out what the five foods to avoid are. So that whole process is very withholding curiosity. It's withholding curiosity based clickbait. And Facebook is cracking down on poor web experience, right? You'll see sometimes people get a poor ad experience, and sometimes you'll see a poor web experience. And that's when they have to click through multiple times to get the information that basically the ad promised. And lastly is the post-conversion experience. Facebook will set out a feedback survey to people who have purchased often an ad on Facebook, and they're gathering information and giving a page score. And depending on that page score, they will automatically implement a penalty if you fall below a certain threshold. And also on the post-conversion experience, that only applies to e-com products and not digital products. So if you get classified as an e-commerce advertisers, that's when you'll get this like experience. But if you're a digital product, they actually don't send out the post experience because it's an automatic download. They get the product right away, and they know that if you buy it, you'll get the product. Versus like a shipped e-com product, they don't actually know if it's legit, if you got the product, or people are getting what they're asking for. Also, it depends on the upsell because a lot of times digital products will go into supplement upsells. So some people are able to get reclassified based on the upsell, but sometimes Facebook says even though the first product is digital, there's also a hard copy book option and a physical upsell. And then they'll look at that and be like, okay, that's e-commerce. Also, there is a different level of scrutiny with digital projects that are ingestible versus non-ingestibles because there's obviously a lot of harm that can come from supplements. So they do go through things with a fine-tooth comb when it is an ingestible versus when it's like an ebook or a download or just teaching somebody how to play the piano or something. So these are some of the most common compliance issues because some of the same, pitfalls that people run into happen in the ad and on the landing page as well. So I'm going to roll through this just so there's no questions here. The first common compliance issues are the implied negative attributes. Facebook does not like the way you phrase things. You can't assume something about the viewer. In Facebook's mind, it makes the viewer feel like uneasy because it feels like they're being targeted. Like for example, everybody knows that Facebook knows everything about them and that they hear people are like scared because they know Facebook is like spying on them and listening to their conversations. Well, if I'm an advertiser and I say to you, hey, are you an old guy with over 60 with a blue shirt on who has back pain? He's going to be like, well, how did you know I was an old guy? Facebook's going to target them with the ad because they know exactly who to target. But the viewer is going to be like scared, like, hey, how did I know? So one of the biggest mistakes you can make is revealing that you actually know everything about them. And Facebook doesn't like that because it really scares the viewers and gets them off the Facebook platform. So that's one of the reasons why you'll actually be banned. When somebody first told me that you can't use the word you, I just thought that was so ridiculous and I was going to get banned anyway. Then we removed the word you and we just really stopped getting banned and we applied some of these other tools and these ideas to make non-definitive claims and just follow the and not be clickbaity and just follow the kind of rules and suddenly all our bans kind of went away. So you want to stay away from anything that'll imply viewer attributes, even if it's in kind of a question form. The second thing is exaggerated claims, sensational language, like shocking new research shows we can cure cancer in 5 days. Withholding information. Also, this is where you need to close the loop. You need a clear statement that closes the loop. Like, for example, discover these 5 steps to make arthritis worse. That's like an action they have to take. Like they have to go discover these 5 foods to make arthritis worse. It's an open loop. Versus Kansu, which is just the name of the product. Five worst foods for arthritis. They both convey the same thing. One is just a simple statement, and you have the product name there, which makes it a little bit better. And that's like a made-up product name, Kansu. And I'll walk through a couple more examples of this in a few moments as well. And lastly, you cannot make medical claimants. You cannot use definitive language. But things like, you cannot claim X results in Y days. You can say you lost 100 pounds, but you can't say you lost 100 pounds in 6 months. So adding in the Y days automatically causes a red flag. Also using definitive language like grow hair or like lose weight. That's all making a claim versus help support hair growth, help support weight management. Which is more supportive and less definitive, like it's absolutely going to happen. And I'll dive deeper into these a little bit later in a second also. So this headline might be considered pretty good. Regulate erratic blood pressure with XYZ. This is pretty good that you have the product name in here because Facebook wants you to use the product name, if possible, in the post text or the headline, in the video. Having just like a watermark on the side of the video or a call to action with the product in it. They want it to be transparent, not like at the very end of a video, you know, they discover that they're actually going to buy a product. It's not just about five foods specifically. So how could you rewrite this to be more compliant? It's just as simple as rewording it, right? XYZ helps support erratic blood sugar, which is a statement, right? Instead of regulate erratic blood sugar, helps support erratic blood sugar. You know, just adding the word helps is just will save you 1,000 times. And using words like support, and I'll be diving into more other words soon also. I've also found that having the watermark in the ad that's also on the landing page is good for consistency, and that's also important, right? You want someone to click your ad and have a vibe and then get to the landing page, and they're still in the same vibe, right? They still feel the same. Your logos are there, and everything is kind of the same. They know they're in the right place. There's a strong consistency there. The key here is really just having consistency from the video to the landing page so that when people click the ad, it matches the experience that they're having on the landing page, and there's that consistency there. So this is going to be a summary of all the different aspects of compliance when advertising health products on Facebook. The first thing is before and afters. No before and after copy or images that speak about weight loss, aging, or results. The reason behind this is Facebook believes this makes users feel self-conscious or bad about themselves or their appearance. So anything that is resembling a before and after picture, whether it's about a body part or zooming into somebody's face or an anti-wrinkle product, is not allowed. So the two images on the bottom here are forbidden by Facebook. Ways to imply the same thing. You know, obviously you can show, you obviously want to show that your product is successful and that it can transform someone. A way to get the same idea across is by telling stories in first person. So a lot of different influencers, including Gundry and Maggie Q, they tell success stories about their personal weight loss stories in person, and that's compliant with Facebook. Another way to do the same thing is by customer testimonials saying, hey, X product was successful because it led to these specific benefits for me. Next, going off of that, for diet and weight loss, you can't have any imagery that zooms in on body parts for the same rationale that I explained previously. It makes users feel self-conscious. The next topic is misinformation and misleading claims. No advertiser can make false claims. That's like false claims about the benefits, the ingredients that it uses, the pricing. You can't advertise a sale unless there actually is a sale. You can't have false claims around results intended for a product or any claim that could be perceived as intending to scam users, obviously. Besides for that, you can't cite fake studies or use non-credible sources or fake testimonials. Here's an example of a couple headlines that are not compliant, and I'll explain why. The ideal way to stabilize weight is misinformation because it implies that there's only one way, it's the ideal way, and that might not necessarily be true as there are like alternative ways and mechanisms that help people stabilize weight in a better way. So it's non-falsifiable that there's one ideal way. You can say an ideal way, but you can't say the ideal way because that implies there's only one solution to weight, and that's your product, essentially. Next, these headlines are examples of things intended to kind of scam users. Five ways to get rich quick. Five ways to guarantee passive income. So it's a false claim because it's promising users that, you know, there's five ways they could definitely get rich quick or earn passive income. And that's not true, right? Like you can't say stuff like there's one key to help with digestion because that's like claiming that there's only one way to do it. You can't say stuff like the five worst foods for digestion because that's like assuming that there are only five, you know, bad foods that are bad with digestion. The top foods that kill metabolism and ruin lives. Again, how do you know that these are the top foods for sure? And I'll get to this later in the presentation, but this language here is too negative, and it can perceived as like a scare tactic. Killing metabolism and ruin lives is negative and wouldn't be compliant for both those reasons. It's misleading, and the wording is too negative and can perceived as scaring users. Next, these are the five worst foods for women's health. Same explanation as above. It's a false claim. You're saying these are the absolute five worst foods. And the second portion of this headline is like a personal attribute because it's specializing and focusing on women's health. Instead, you want to use other language like discover how five foods impact health. That's compliant. The next section here is personal attributes. You can't make users feel self-conscious. You can't use you or your if you're an e-com product. For some reason, it's okay if you're in digital space, but in the e-com space, it implies that the user has a problem, and you basically can't imply that users have a problem in any way. Some more examples: avoiding these five foods will make you lose weight. You can't say that. Having trouble losing weight and increasing metabolism, that's implying that the user is having trouble losing weight and increasing metabolism, right? It's implying that they're kind of overweight and they have a slow metabolism. Which is, they're like, how did you know that, right? That causes issues. Next, these five foods ruin women's metabolism. Women's metabolism is a personal attribute, and it's because it's singling and calling out women specifically. It's good to ask questions, but you have to be very careful with your wording. And you can't make a user feel self-conscious for specifically calling out or implying that they have a problem. So, what are some ways that you can continue to advertise by calling out people in a compliant way? You can use more general phrasing like Americans. Americans are looking for ways to lose weight. You can speak at them as if they're a third person and just being like non-specific, right? Saying many people believe, most people believe this is a great way to get energy. So here is an example of some ad content that does speak about women, but it's still compliant because of the way that it's phrased here. Heavy weightlifting, CrossFit are the ideal for women? Question mark. So it's a pretty neutral question. Are they ideal for women? Most resistance training programs are not designed for a woman's body and can result in discomfort from being stuck in recovery mode. So this is a way to speak to women without specifically calling them out. Next is sensational content. Okay, no shocking, sensational, disrespectful, or violent content, because Facebook wants all users to have a good experience, and these things can scare users. So one example of a headline that would be viewed as sensational is why aspartame increases death risk. Obviously, that's a scare tactic that's scary. So instead, a compliant flip on that is how does aspartame impact health? In addition to copy, it's the same with images, right? Even if it's a cartoon, if it's something negative or something that could be scary, for example, the Candida overgrowth, it would not be compliant. In this example, it points out different problems that the person looks sad, he's got red spots on him. So this would be a non-compliant image. Besides that, no weapons or violent imagery. No machetes, no guns, no violent imagery at all on Facebook. No over-promising results, right? You can't make definitive claims. You can't exaggerate benefits. You can't say X product will guarantee you to lose weight. You can say X product can help balance weight and can help improve metabolism, can promote energy levels, it can increase metabolism, but you can't be like definite about the whole thing. Like, it'll definitely do this or it does this. So using non-definitive claims is super important. So in this Dr. Gundry ad, you can see down here, enjoy good digestion and full body wellness this holiday season. So enjoy good digestion is not implying that the user has a problem. If it had said enjoy better digestion, then it implies that the user has a poor digestion. But good digestion is a neutral way to say the same thing. And it doesn't guarantee any results. And like I said previously, you can't like imply there's only one solution to any specific problem. Next is scare tactics. You can't use fear as a method of convincing people to buy products. For example, if you don't take X or do X, it'll decrease your lifespan and cause you to gain weight, right? You have to be positive. A few examples of non-compliant headlines are these five foods will ruin digestive health. You know, ruin is negative. Avoid these five worst foods at all costs. You know, your digestion will suffer if these five foods are eaten. How to destroy metabolism and energy levels. And these five foods will certainly shorten your life. These are all examples of scare tactics that Facebook doesn't like. Negative language, right? You can't say ruin digestion, kills digestive health, destroys vitality. You always have to be positive. You can't say these foods will wreck your gut, why yogurt is terrible for colon health. It's too negative, right? You can't, don't use like worse, disgusting, bad, harmful, detrimental, damaging, wipe out, butcher, etc. These like, try to use like neutral and positive language, like impact and change. Those are solid. How to discuss the benefits. For weight loss and obesity, again, you can't overpromise results. So you could say it helps stabilize weight, helps manage weight, it helps balance weight. Those are all ways to discuss that benefit while still being compliant. When it comes to aging, you can say helps vitality, longevity, memory, brain health, reduce brain fog. Those are all fine. You can't use like aging or aging words like this will make you look or this will make you help look younger over the years. Instead, you can say this will help skin over time through the decades or as time kind of passes. You can't use language that discusses like looking or feeling younger. You can't use the word youthful. Preventing aging is non-compliant. And you can't mention specific diseases like Alzheimer's or dementia. So again, no specific mention of diseases, right? If you're advertising a product that has to do with diabetes, you could say type 2. Then you can discuss the benefits that are relevant to users, like balancing blood sugars or glucose levels or promoting balanced blood sugar. You can't say diabetes because it's the disease, and you can't say diabetics because that's you know, considered a personal attribute. So let's talk about some elements that need to be present on the landing page. And if you have a video, if you have a VSL on the landing page, it cannot automatically play. That's kind of rule number one here. You can't have an autoplay, but you can have a couple second GIF, right? As long as it doesn't look like it's the beginning of the video. So you can have a GIF that says like tap here to play or click to play. But if the GIF that's looping looks like it's auto playing the video, like if the GIF itself is the first 2 seconds of the video, that is not compliant. Similar with the ads, the videos can't make any unsubstantiated claims. Like don't make any results like X results in Y time. If you're using testimonials, make sure you have the testimonials in asterisks and results may vary. And reference any scientific studies when making claims. Make sure you have that at the bottom of the VSL. So again, if you're non-health related, this isn't really relevant. But for the health guys, if you're making a structure function claim or something like that, having the reference on that particular sentence, then having the scientific study at the bottom of the page is necessary. So one of the things in the beginning, the viewer should be able to determine on the landing page what's being sold without having to watch the VSL. That's something that Facebook is looking for on the landing page. So when you get there, you can't just have the VSL on there. You have to have some of the information about product when you scroll below. You can talk about what it is, what it does, what are the benefits. Again, the goal here is transparency. Also adding just some more information on the page about what the video is about. You can have the curiosity here is to get people to engage the VSL. You don't have to give away the secrets, but you could be teasing the root cause of the problem and teasing some of the mechanisms and teasing the solution and teasing the doctor and the problems he was experiencing. On the landing page, you must have a way to click off the page, right? In this example here, you can have the little 3 hamburger button bar on top. So when you click it, there's a home page, or in this case, a product page. But then that links to, you know, there's a home page and 6 pages and like more information about the product. So once people get on this page, there has to be a way to leave. That's part of the Facebook kind of rules here. Some people put it on top. You can always put it on the bottom where you have like your disclaimer and the privacy policy and return information and the home link there. And your homepage, it shouldn't be like a 2-page blog site. It should be like a little bit thicker with like a more legit page and your privacy policy links and terms and conditions. Lastly, no fake countdown timers, right? No fake urgency, no fake scarcity, right? Everything's got to be legit. And that's all on the landing page. On the upsells, you can still use them. Facebook's not really buying and then going into post-purchase flows. You have a lot more leniency there, and you can use it on the upsells there, but definitely not the first page. So this is basically everything that we covered here in a nice one-slide kind of slide format for you to kind of just to make your life easier. And that is it. That's everything on the landing page. All right. Regarding trigger words, as the algo scrolls down landing pages, there are certain trigger words that will force you to pay a higher cost per click than if you don't have those words. Things like weight loss. That's why you want to say weight management instead of weight loss or body mass. And instead of secret, that's generally something that's problematic as well. So saying key or blueprint or remedy or protocol typically works much better. It's not like a penalty, but it is a heightened CPM that you have to pay. And if you get enough of those ad level penalties, they will make you pay more per click. And if you get enough of those, they'll accumulate and then they'll punish the page and then you're pretty much fucked, right? You don't want to have that happen. So you want to stay away from these specific keywords. Key, blueprint, protocol, those are all solid to use. So when it comes to redirects, I don't really like to have them, right? I go pretty much straight to the sales page. The sales page is specifically designed for Facebook traffic, maybe one that's designed for YouTube traffic, and no redirect links. I just go straight to the URL. This is one problem that gets affiliates in a lot of trouble, but I go straight to the URL that I'm trying to go to and my basically brand URL. That's the way to do it. You don't really want to have redirects, but some redirects are okay if you're going from same root domain to same root domain. But from different URLs, that'll get your whole account shut down. So watch out for those.